Hi, good morning, everyone. Welcome to DIA's full year 2017 results presentation. The call will be hosted by the company's CEO, Mr. Ricardo Curras, and by the Chief Corporate Officer, Mr. Armando Sánchez. They will cover a presentation before moving into the Q&A session. Before getting started, I would like to remember that this event will be recorded and it will be available for playback right after the end. I also invite you to review the legal disclaimer of the document. And now, I turn the call over to Ricardo Curras. Ricardo, you have the floor.
Thank you, David. Good morning and welcome to the DIA's full year 2017 results presentation. We will present initially the main highlights of the 2017 financial year, then move on to the financial review of the year, explaining our results, and finally, we will give an overview of our plans and objectives for 2018 and long term. In page 5, you will find the main highlights of the year. In 2017, gross sales under BANA have increased by 1.5% and like-for-like by 3.4%. This growth has been particularly important in emerging markets. In Q4, we achieved positive like-for-like sales in all countries. Adjusted EBITDA has, however, decreased to 569 million euros, a decline of 8.9% over 2016. This negative effect has mainly been driven by a reduction in DIA Spain margins due to the strong price investment carried out to maintain price leadership, particularly in the DIA banner, where we still have more than 8% margin. The other formats in Spain and the other countries have achieved their objectives, improving profitability over the year. Furthermore, our cash generation remains strong, with cash from operations in excess of 207 million euros, and we maintained a sound financial situation with stable net debt at 891 million euros. We stay in comfortable leverage and liquidity levels. Moving on to page 6, we achieved positive like-for-like sales growth in all countries in Q4 2017. Like-for-like increased in Iberia from minus 1.5 in Q3 to 1.1 in Q4, and in emerging markets from 6.1 in Q3 to 8.3 in Q4, meeting the target set in Q3 with a material price investment to gain competitiveness, which had a negative impact on margins. Moving to page 7, we increased our sales by 1.5% in 2017, aligned with our guidance. No, like-for-like sales growth was 3.4%, positive in all countries. The investment required in DIA Spain prevented us from fully meeting our October outlook. Adjusted EBITDA decreased 8.9% over 2016. CapEx remained within predicted limits. On page 8, despite the difficulties, we managed to carry out several key strategic actions that set a strong foundation for 2018 and that help us be optimistic about the future. First of all, we recovered solid price gap in Iberia with good traction for 2018 thanks to the price investment. We optimized space and closed non-profitable and redundant stores from the last acquisitions and upgraded concepts of our three formats. These moves leave us ready to resume space growth in Iberia with improved contribution to sales growth. We also reached 10% of online market share in Spain at the end of the year, consolidating our position as one of the market leaders. And we were able to continue growing faster than the market in Brazil and Argentina, with significant market share gains in both countries as we expanded our margins one more year. Let us move to a more detailed review of our financial evolution over 2017. Armando, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Ricardo. Good morning, everyone. In slide number 10, we will move on to the financial summary of the year, where we have included the main elements of our business performance and IFRS measures. Our positive like-for-like evolution of 3.4% is hindered in 2017 by space reductions due to the optimization of our store portfolio after significant M&A activity in recent years, as well as by currency effect. Adjusted EBITDA stood at 569 million euros, down 8.9% versus 2016 on a constant currency basis. We have also included here some of the most relevant IFRS measure of sales and income. I will refer here to the management report for a detailed discussion of the alternative performance measure and a reconciliation with the closest IFRS measure. In page 11, we will now take a look at the performance of each segment. Iberia has seen sales of 6,590 million euros, approximately two-thirds of total sales for the group, with a positive like-for-like for the year, but a negative space contribution of 3%. The adjusted EBITDA was 426 million euros, and the EBITDA margin moved down to 7.7%, still well above industry average. As mentioned earlier, this margin reduction was driven by our decision to maintain our price leadership in a highly competitive environment, partially offset by several efficiency programs conducted successfully during the year. This year, we also optimized our footprint, particularly that of stores acquired from Eroski and El Árbol in 2014 and 2015. We carried out a significant number of remodelings, a program that we will continue in 2018 and 2019. We did this while optimizing the use of capital and operating resources. On page 12, we can see some detail regarding the price investment mentioned earlier. Our margin decrease was mainly driven by an effort to secure price leadership in our Dia banner in Spain. Versus the end of the first half of the year, we saw our price gap reduce by 110 basis points versus our main competitor. In order to expand our price leadership and strengthen our value proposition, we invested to recover 230 basis points during the second half of the year. This move allowed us to turn around the negative Q3 like-for-like and recover 260 basis points to reach 1.1% positive like-for-like growth in Q4. This allows us to start 2018 on a good competitive position. On page 13, we analyze the evolution of space in Iberia. In 2017, we made a particular effort to optimize our footprint, selectively reducing our non-profitable stores, a review that affected especially the space acquired through M&A in recent years. In 2017, as in 2016, we had a net reduction of space with the closure of approximately 30% of the stores acquired in this phase of acquisitions. However, over the last four-year span, we have been able to grow our total space more than twice as fast as we used to do before 2014. Now we are ready to resume organic growth of space in 2018, which should affect positively next year's growth figures. On page 14, we can see some details of the improvement of our value proposition. Coupled with the reorganization of the footprint, we are working on an ambitious store improvement plan. We have remodeled more than 600 stores in 2017 and expect to act on more than 1,000 in 2018, mainly in the first half of the year. In Spain, we will work on stores that represent approximately 50% of the Dia and Plaza banner sales in Spain. Approximately half of these actions on the stores will be modular remodelings, which will only close the store for one, 2 days and require reduced CapEx investment, but improve significantly the attractiveness of the store for our consumers. As we will later discuss, these remodelings are generating positive sales and margin impact in our store, as well as significantly improving customer satisfaction. Moving on, page 15, we have continued to work on all cost fronts, reducing labor and operating costs approximately 6.5% versus 2016, well above the 3.3% space contraction in the segment. On the sourcing side, we have achieved 50 basis points of synergies in 2017. However, we expect to continue benefiting from the recent setup of our buying agreements to achieve at least another 50 basis points of improvement in 2018. On page 16, we will have a look at the performance of the emerging market segment. Emerging markets saw a very positive evolution again in 2017, with gross sales under banner growing to 3,745 million euros, driven by both a positive like-for-like of 8.6% and a positive space contribution to sales of 2.4%. This top-line growth was achieved despite a strong deflation in Brazil, which reached 5.1% in Q4, and the difficult consumption environment in both markets. Again, another year we were able to grow our market share significantly in both countries, while we kept improving our EBITDA margin at the same time. Moving on to page 17, in 2017 we have surpassed the 2,000 store mark, continuing the solid growth trajectory of the past decade. Our growth slowed down somewhat in 2017, as we wanted to ensure that our openings were adapted to the difficult consumer environment seen in both markets. But we remain absolutely committed to the expansion of our network, and we expect to come back to double-digit space expansion in the coming quarters. Moving on to page 18, we can see how we have consistently increased market share in both countries since 2011. In 2017, in Argentina, we have gained market share by 40 basis points, reaching 14.1%, increasing our shares versus 2011 for a total of 530 basis points. In Brazil, our share has reached 7.8% of the organized market, an increase of 60 basis points versus 2016. Simultaneously, we have been able to increase EBITDA margin year after year since 2011, reaching 4.6% of net sales, an increase of 160 basis points versus 2011. On page 19, our cash from operations stood at 207 million euros, as we compensated the decrease in adjusted EBITDA by a reduction of our capital expenditures. Moving on to page 20, we can see how our return remains significantly ahead of those of our peers, despite the erosion we have seen in 2017. The board will propose to the general shareholder meeting a distribution of 18 cents per share of dividend, which represents 50.7% of underlying net profit. With this dividend, we will surpass the 1 billion euro mark in funds returned to shareholders since our listing. On slide 21, we can see the evolution of net debt, where we have maintained levels similar to those of 2016 at 891 million euros, and our leverage ratios remain stable and well below the rating agency thresholds and our covenant commitments. We have liquidity available in excess of 1.1 billion euros, and the average life of our debt is 3.7 years, which leaves us in a comfortable financial position. On page 22, you will find an outlook for 2018. In Iberia, we will focus on the top line, with all three formats ready to come back to contribute to growth and profit. We will also look for positive like-for-like throughout the year, supported by price leadership, format improvement, focused on food solutions, and a personalization of promotions and assortment. We plan to improve our space contribution, reducing closures and increasing our opening rhythm. As a result, we expect to recover growth in adjusted EBITDA in the segment. In emerging markets, our priority is to accelerate our expansion in both Argentina and Brazil. We expect to maintain our capital expenditure in the range of 3.2% to 4% of net sales and achieve double-digit growth of cash from operation. On page 23, we take a long-term look at the aspirations of the company. Looking beyond 2018, we aim to become undisputed number two grocery retailer in Iberia, as well as achieving long-term organic growth in both segments, leveraging our leadership in proximity discount. We also see ourselves uniquely positioned to lead the growth of e-commerce in Iberia. In both Brazil and Argentina, we intend to build the clear leader in proximity discount, keeping the growth rates achieved since listing. As a consequence, we expect to reach growth sales above 5%. We will remain disciplined, keeping returns significantly above those of our peers, making an efficient use of capital, with CapEx at 3.24% of net sales, and a strong balance sheet consistent with our commitment to investment-grade ratings. Finally, we will continue to remunerate shareholders in the range of 40% to 50% of underlying net profit. Now, Ricardo will walk us through the main business development we introduced in 2017 and how we will evolve in 2018. Ricardo.
Thank you, Armando. If you look at page 25, we can see the main strategic developments of the recent Diaz history. Since Diaz listing in 2011, we have worked on focusing our efforts on the right formats and countries. We have divested operations in Turkey and France and are currently undergoing negotiations to complete our exit from China. Thus, we have been able to redeploy our capital and efforts to have relevant scale in our key geographies, Spain, Portugal, Brazil, and Argentina. With that objective, we have undergone a series of acquisitions in Iberia through Schlecker, El Árbol, and Eroski operations to increase our format range in the way toward attracting new customers and serving more and more of our customer needs. As a consequence, we stand in 2018 with our three formats in Iberia, which are all profitable and with growth opportunities, and two fast-growing operations in Brazil and Argentina that make us feel very confident about the future prospects of the company. On page 26, we briefly present the key pillars of our value proposition. We are working hard every day to serve our customers, changing needs and aspirations. With this goal in mind, we are building on our differentiated value proposition in food retail based on proximity and price. We aspire to serve all of our customers' needs with quality at the best price, anytime and everywhere, with new products, meal solutions, and services. To be able to deliver in our objective, we are constantly incorporating new partners, be it franchisees or companies from different sectors that allow us to better serve our customers. And we are working relentlessly to improve our talent and technology to keep the superior performance that has always been one of Diaz's main assets. Moving on to page 27, the whole company is focused towards putting the client at the center of all things we do. For this reason, we have implemented real-time business intelligence with more than 30,000 customers surveyed monthly to measure customer satisfaction by store and category to better adjust our offer and services to the changing needs. And we have also linked all our employees' variable remuneration to Net Promoter Score. On page 28, you can see the main elements we are introducing in our proximity value proposition. We are focusing on new services such as fresh coffee and juice, roasted chicken, food to go, or cold drinks to cover a wider range of customer needs. We are also modernizing our layouts to offer more spacious sales areas. And we are extending our opening hours to participate in more consumption moments. We have rolled out these elements in selected locations and managed to achieve excellent results, increasing Net Promoter Score by 20 points, reaching double-digit like-for-like sales growth, and achieving return on investment in excess of 20% with lean CapEx expenditures. The new sections already contribute 15 to 20% of total sales in these stores. These promising results give us confidence to roll out many of these features to our complete network, and during 2018, we will selectively include several of them in the more than 1,000 Diaz La Plaza stores to be remodeled in Iberia. As you can see in page 29, you already can have a delicious and very cheap breakfast in Diaz, half the price of a standard breakfast in Spain. We are extending our opening hours and creating new areas within the stores where our clients can meet, eat, and relax. Continuing in page 30, we are investing heavily into creating new food solutions and increasing our offering of value-added and healthy, conscious products to adapt to newer customers' needs and wants. As we mentioned before, these new efforts have been very well welcomed by our clients, and they are proving very valuable in terms of growth and profitability. On page 31, we provide a glimpse about our digital capabilities. We currently have one of the most complete apps among grocery retailers, and it is proving to be a unique platform to interact with clients and participate in more consumption moments. 15 months after launching it in Spain, we count with more than 800,000 active users. These clients are receiving more information about our stores and services and better personalized offers. The result is that they are now better their customers than before using it. We are now rolling out the app in Portugal, Brazil, and Argentina. It is a priority for us in 2018 to multiply at least by 4 the number of active users. In page 32, we highlight our developed online proposition. In the last few years, we have pushed to expand e-commerce in Spain. At the end of 2017, we have achieved more than 10% market share, reaching over 60% of the Spanish population with our online offer, either through La Plaza and Amazon Prime Now, Clarel, or Dia e-commerce. We have expanded our capabilities, allowing customers to select 3-hour slots for deliveries with Dia Online or becoming best-in-class in service, as reflected in our high and growing Net Promoter Score. We will continue to invest in 2018 to grow faster than the market, as our goal is to become market leader in online grocery retail in Spain in the long term. In page 33, you can see we are planning to evolve the value proposition of Club Dia to continue to be the number one loyalty program in food retail. We have more than 20 million active users, and we are continuously improving our loyalty program. With this goal in mind, in 2018, we plan to leverage the unparalleled reach and client knowledge of Club Dia to better customize the offer by store, further personalize our promotions, and create a whole set of new services around the program, either alone or with new partners. On the next page, you can see one of the first joint ventures we intend to develop around Club Dia to complement our value proposition. On page 34, you can see we have recently entered an agreement with CaixaBank to develop a consumer finance solution for our clients. CaixaBank will take hold of 50% of Finandia. We chose CaixaBank, among several other leading Spanish financial institutions, for its leading consumer finance capabilities and its market knowledge, for its solvency, and for its delayed experience in strategic alliances. CaixaBank's capabilities, together with our differentiating knowledge about our large customer base, will allow us to propose an integrated financial offering, including credit cards and consumer finance products. We will start the rollout of the project this year, and it should be fully operational by 2019. In page 35, we can see some of our newest private brand developments. Private label has always been one of the key Dia's value pillars, and in the last year, we have worked on developing the high-value added segments, pushing our Delicious and Vital brands. One of our biggest projects in private label is the development of new food solutions. We are launching our own brands of fresh coffee and juice, bread, as well as other high-margin products such as our grilled chicken and ribs. New food solutions items already represent 15 to 20% of sales in our new formats, as we already commented before, and are showing significant sales growth. La Hornada del Día, for example, is increasing bread sales more than 50% in those stores where we are implementing the new solution, with a material growth in store traffic. In page 36, you can see how our relationship with franchisees keeps improving. Franchisees are our preferred partners and the best managers of our proximity stores. The general satisfaction with Dia has improved for the third consecutive year, and we continue adding new entrepreneurs to our network. I want to highlight from our last survey to franchisees the very high participation of our partners and the increase in the satisfaction with profitability in Iberia, which jumped by 50 basic points. In 2018, we continue to push the franchise model in the Dia banner and in Clarel. In page 37, we can see the key partnerships we enter to improve our value proposition. We enrich our online sales channel with partnerships with companies ranging from Amazon to Glovo. Regarding Amazon, I would like to highlight that our operations in Madrid are showing very good growth results and that the more recent hubs in Barcelona and Valencia are supporting promising developments. As you already know, we have also pushed for sourcing agreements with Casino, Eroski, and Intermarché to offer better prices to our customers and new products. We are happy with the results and new developments of the three alliances that we will continue reinforcing in 2018. The joint venture with CaixaBank we presented a few minutes ago will allow us to keep increasing our offering and sets a path for future partnerships. In page 38, you can see some of the projects we are developing through Nexus by Dia. We are involved in projects such as Talking Circles, a knowledge-sharing platform for employees, Neuromobile, a solution which allows us to locate the customers to better offer coupons and promotions, PlanJammer, a recipe builder, and Wasteless, a dynamic pricing engine based on price reduction in soon-to-be-out-of-date products. These projects will soon reach rollout and will directly affect their results and address the customers' needs. Moving on to page 39, we can see the new organization of the group. We decided to move to a format-based organization from April 2017 to make sure we put the right focus on customer needs and operations of the different business. In this way, we are increasing our agility to adapt to new market trends and developments. These commercial divisions are supported and coordinated by other perpendicular functions, such as technology, supply chain and procurement, finance and human resources, to make sure we capture synergies and have the right level of coordination. I strongly believe this new structure will allow us to take our different formats to the next level and to improve the quality of service we provide to our customers. Moving on to page 40, improving efficiency is always a priority for Dia. We have moved towards agile methodology at many different levels of organization and are rapidly increasing the budget we devote to IT and innovation as part of our long-term goal of digitizing the company, both externally and internally. During 2017, we have worked on new point-of-sale software, allowing for real-time access to store information, implementing self-checkout, and improving demand forecasting and stock management, with a significant inventory reduction throughout the year. At the same time, we improved on-shelf availability. We are also rolling out the digitization of our back offices, with a projected reduction of 10% in central costs for 2018. In addition, as we explained before, we are investing in our innovation center, Nexus. To close this intervention and before moving on to the Q&A session, let me summarize. 2017 has been a difficult year, particularly due to the strong price investment and footprint adjustment in Spain. In Spain, mainly the Dia banner was affected, while all other banners in Spain and geographies, Brazil, Argentina, and Portugal, continued the upward trajectory. This last year, we have continued to work on our strategy by bringing quality at the best prices, evolving the proximity concept, and strengthening and expanding the relationship with franchisees and business partners, and always maintaining the customer at the center. For 2018, we expect to recover sales growth in Iberia with positive like-for-like and improved space contribution to sales, and also positive growth in adjusted EBITDA with continued efficiency improvements. In emerging markets, we will push for an acceleration of our expansion. Finally, the performance of our segments and a controlled CapEx will allow us to increase significantly cash from operations over 2017. We finished here the full year 2017 results presentation. Armando, please.
Thanks, Ricardo. Before we move to the Q&A section, we would like to inform about some updates on our board of directors that were informed today on an hecho relevante. LetterOne Investment Holdings, who holds 25% of voting rights, has requested to appoint two board members, which will be submitted for approval on the AGM to be held in April. Mr. Stéphane Ducharme and Mr. Karl-Heinz Hollan hold both very strong backgrounds in retail, and we believe will be great additions to the experience and diversity of our board. The board has also decided to create a new committee on strategy that will be chaired by Mr. Richard Golding, first Vice President of the Board of Directors of DIA. We strongly believe these changes will help the company to achieve its long-term goals. Now we move on to the Q&A section. David?
Yeah, this is the end of the presentation, so now we are happy to take all the questions you may have. Operator, please, you can open the session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We kindly request that you limit yourselves to three questions. Once again, that is star one if you wish to ask a question. Our first question comes from Maxime Mallet from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I had three, actually. The first one was coming back on, well, your margin guidance for 2018. So having an EBITDA growth, I'm trying to reconcile that with more than 410, well, more than 400 basis points of margin pressure in Q4. So could you maybe give us some more color about the moving parts here that will enable you to have a significant improvement of your margin in the next few quarters? Second one is, you mentioned on your slide 8 that you are ready to go into growth in Iberia inorganically. Does that mean that we should expect in the next few months some deals or some M&A from your side? And the last one is, could you give us an update with regard to the churn rate that you've experienced with your franchisee in 2017? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. I will answer them to you. So the first question is about margin in 2018 in Iberia. Look, we have always said, and we explained, I think, in Q3, that you cannot look at just to a quarter to see what is the level of margin of our different business. And this is exactly what I say now. We finished 2017 with a level of margin in Iberia, which is close to 8%, and we think that we can maintain this level of margin in 2018. That's why we say that adjusted EBITDA will grow in Iberia in 2018. Of course, we have seen a decrease in margin in 2017 compared to 2016, but at the beginning of 2018, we have a situation in which we have already invested in prices what we think we had to invest in prices because we have a comfortable position in price gap with our competitors. And as we are also investing heavily in remodeling our stores, we said that 50% of our LaPlaza and DIA stores will be remodeled lightly or more in depth in the first half of the year. We expect our like-for-like will be an increasing like-for-like, and therefore, we are convinced that we will be able to maintain our margins in 2018 if, as we expect, we are able to increase our sales in 2018, like-for-like sales in 2018. Apart from that, we continue the negotiations with our suppliers. The situation at the end of 2017 shows that we have not recovered all the money we wanted to recover from suppliers, but this is not the end of our negotiations. We continue them at the beginning of 2018, and we will continue pushing with our alliances. So we will find a recovery of margin coming from these negotiations, and also we will find a recovery of margin coming from costs because, as you have seen in 2017, we continue the reduction of costs in Iberia in excess of our space reduction, and that is also a comfortable situation for 2018. If I move to the question number two, which is if we will do M&A operations in Iberia, well, what we say is we repeat our long-term strategy. We always said that we think that the Spanish market is a market which is not yet consolidated, is quite fragmented, and we want to be one of the main actors of this consolidation process. And of course, we will look at opportunities. Does it mean that it is our priority for 2018? Clearly not. Our priority for 2018 is reinforcing our like-for-like growth in Iberia, stabilizing our margins, and recovering space growth, organic space growth. And this is, let's say, our priorities for 2018, but that doesn't mean that we will look at the market, and in the long term, of course, it is a part of our strategy. As we want, as we said, in the long term, to become a clear number two in the Iberian market. When you look at churn ratio with franchises, it's absolutely stabilized over the last years with, I would say, a healthy rotation, because there are always people who are not doing well their work, and we say, okay, we don't want to continue with them. And at the same time, there are also some franchisees that decide for personal reasons that they don't want to continue the business. But I would say that the churn ratio is absolutely stable. And the good news is that satisfaction in our survey has increased for the third consecutive year in 2017, and I'm very happy, especially with one of the results of this survey, which is that in Iberia, and specifically in Spain, in a tough year, our franchisees have seen an improvement in profitability in the stores.
Thank you, Ricardo. And if I may, just a quick follow-up on your response with regard to the margin in Iberia, given that you expect a stable margin in Iberia in 2018, is it fair to assume, given that you've made most of your price investments back-end loaded into 2018, and that the remodeling will be a big component of H1 2018, that we should see margin being down a triple-digit basis point figure in H1, and then you expect a strong rebound rather into H2?
What we expect in terms of margins is we will see we will try to stabilize margins as far as possible from the beginning of the year, and we think that this will be possible, and probably as we have had the biggest decrease in the last quarter of the year, and as we expect at that time to have fully implemented all our remodeling plans, recovered our space growth in Spain, this will be probably our best quarter in terms of results.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Jose Rito from CaixaBank BPI.
Yes, hi, good morning. So my first question on sales and margins in Iberia. We noticed the recovery on like-for-like versus Q3, but we think an investment of 100 basis points of the margin will require a stronger sales acceleration. Why sales are not reacting to this so strong price or margin investment in Spain? What is your view why we haven't seen this stronger acceleration of sales in Q4, and also if you could related to this mention what was the volumes evolution in Q4 versus the average in 2017, would be great. The second question on the price gap. So post these price investments made in Q4, what is currently your price gap to Mercadona and how this compares to the historical price gap? And finally, in terms of competition, how this has been evolving in these initial months of 2018 and what is your expectation for the full year in Spain? Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Jose. On your first question on the effectiveness of price investments on sales, well, we do consider that Q4 was a strong quarter in terms of sales. We have seen, as you know, not many public names that report quarterly figures or comp sales, but on the few elements we have from listed competitors, this is a very good result, as we have seen negative quarter incomes for some listed competitors, and this marks a 260 basis point improvement. So the rebound in sales from a negative in Q3 to minus 1.5 negative to plus 1.1 was definitely a marked improvement that we value very positively. The price gap is now back to its historic average with our main competitors. So as we said, we start the year with a good position, with a comfortable and competitive price position that allows us to be positive for the year. Whether this improvement was driven by inflation or volumes, that was your last question. I would say there's been an improvement in inflation. Q3 marked probably the lowest figure of food inflation in Iberia, but there was definitely a strong pickup in volumes as well, and probably a split contribution would be the most balanced approach. Thanks.
Just finally on the competition, how competition has been evolving in 2018, in these initial months?
Well, the initial month of or in terms of competition, I would say is stable, and 2018 has started not in a different way as the year ended, and we have not seen many different price reaction or movements by competitors.
Our next question comes from Cedric Lecasble from Raymond James.
Yes, good morning, Ricardo, Amanda, and team. Some of my questions have been answered, but I'd like to follow up on this margin guidance for Iberia in 18. Could you maybe come back on what went wrong in 17, which will reverse in 18, and in particular the declining space impact on your suppliers? You mentioned that the recovery of space growth would have a meaningful impact in 18. Could we maybe quantify the negative before anticipating the positive? And also on supply partnerships, purchasing partnerships, what has been done and what is still to be found in 18 in particular? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. It's a wide question, but I will try to answer because we thought we were answering this question maybe in the whole presentation, but let me be more focused in the answer. Look, speaking about Iberia, because it is clearly your question, speaking about Iberia and more specifically, if you want, in Spain, what went wrong in 2017? The reality is that in 2017, what went wrong is that we had to invest more in prices than we expected at the beginning of the year. That was the main reason why we didn't achieve our objectives in 2017. This investment in prices was important in the DIA banner. Remember that the DIA banner in Spain had level of margins in 2016 of around 10% in Spain, which means that, and we are still above, clearly above 8% margin, which is clearly much higher than most of our competitors. And as we had to invest more in prices in 2017, we obtained results that we were clearly below our objectives. Said that, what we didn't want to compromise, and that's something that I've been saying in the last quarter, is our growth in sales. And when we saw that our main competitors were decreasing prices in 2017, we reacted. And because we, again, I say, didn't want to compromise, and we are not going to compromise our sales growth in the coming years, in the coming quarters. But well, at the end of the day, you can say, well, but that means that if again you have a reaction, you will again have a decrease in margin. Well, we have been working in 2017 to try to offset that part. Let me show you where are our advantages obtained in 2017 and what we expect of 2018. The first advantage is that we have been able to close all stores that are redundant or non-profitable, and we have obtained a reduction of costs in Iberia that are in excess of the reduction of space, which is good news, because that means that you are leaner, you are more efficient when you start 2018. Second important thing from my point of view, we have been able to have a better offer for our customers in those stores that we have been remodeling, especially in the last part of 2017. This offer includes categories and includes services that we were not offering before that have a very important impact in sales and higher margins. Therefore, as we are going to continue remodeling our stores in the first half of the year, what we expect is that we will be able to increase our sales, because these remodelings have an important impact on sales growth. But at the same time, we will reinforcing also our margins in these remodel stores, and this has a lot to do with our position as proximity leader, because as you remember, 52% of our stores are in the DIA market banner, and I would say you have another 20%, almost 20% between Clarel and La Plaza de Dia, which are also proximity banners that are banners more protected from, let's say, attraction formats. As we have found this way to optimize our assortment, to improve the service we are offering to our customers with these remodelings, clearly, we think that this is the best thing we can do to reverse the situation in 2018. This would not be possible if our price position had not been good at the beginning of 2018. What we say is after the big investment in 2017, today we are in a good price position to start the year.
If I may, just the decline in space in 2017 had an impact on supplier, on your bargaining power with suppliers and negotiations. What kind of gap can you, well, did you have in 17, which you won't have in 18? What's the kind of magnitude of this gap?
Well, look, fortunately, our negotiations with suppliers are wider. It's not only linked to space, but and not linked at all to space in our case, but take into account that we have done good alliances, and these alliances are being reinforced every year. Let me give you, for instance, one example. In 2016, we had not started common negotiations in private label, which is a very insignificant part of our sales. In 2017, we started common negotiations with Eroski and in Spain, and also with Intermarché in Portugal. So that means that these partnerships are still reinforcing and are still improving the way in which we can negotiate with our suppliers. And as we said, we improved our conditions in 2017 by 50 basis points, and we expect another 50 basis points in 2018. So don't link what happened 1 year in space because of a good reason, which was trying to get off to get out of non-profitable stores. And remember, after 4 years of space growth that was 5% per year, which is something that suppliers knew also, and of course, with expectations for 2018, in which we will resume space growth in Spain. So the reaction of suppliers by this reduction by this re reduction has been has not been material.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Felipe Rosa from Haitong Bank.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the very detailed presentation. I have three questions as well. So firstly, and basically a follow-up on this margin guidance for Iberia for 2018. You are guiding for double-digit growth of cash from operations in 2018, despite I think that the increase in CapEx should be at least 30 million. So you have a negative FX impact in emerging markets that will dilute the increase in local currencies at the EBITDA level. So I was just wondering, are you expecting EBITDA to go up in Iberia materially, or is it you are expecting a significant reduction of non-recurrent charges? Just trying to understand here what is implied here, or what are the main drivers for this double-digit growth in terms of cash from operations. My second question, which is related to this one, I'm just failing to understand one thing, okay? So there is a 230 basis points gross margin investment from the first half to the second half, from what I understood, related to price investment. How come is it possible that in the first half of 2018 you don't have a big impact in terms of your gross margin as well, just to basically marking to market the lower prices you have from the second half? Just trying to understand that. And my third question relates to Portugal. Basically, could you just elaborate a little bit on what has been the performance in 2017 in terms of like-for-like growth and in terms of EBITDA margin evolution? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Felipe. On your first question, which I think I started on margins, but pretty much cover all our guidance for 2018. I think we're clearly guiding for the double-digit growth of cash from operation. That's a metric we've been clearly focused on. And certainly we're guiding for margins overall to be throughout or for the full year 2018 to be stable versus 2017. We think 2017 as a whole should be the base. Obviously, there will be variations within quarters. And obviously the first two quarters would be or the comps in terms of margin will be more difficult than the third and especially the fourth quarter. We're not guiding for a material increase of EBITDA or a material decrease of other cash items. We're guiding for that double-digit growth. CapEx is in line with our long-term guidance of 3.5% to 4% of sales. We want to keep this flexibility within the year to act as we have In 2017, we have acted heavily on our prices in Iberia, and also we have become more effective in the use of capital, which is something we expect to be doing as well in 2018. But we want to keep that flexibility of using more capital within that range if needed. So. Again, we think there will be a positive contribution from EBITDA in Iberia. CapEx, we ended up this year with 302, and we're guiding to 3.5 to 4%, which is around 320 to 350. So, also we expect that as the process of restructuring of the acquisition completes, we again reduce the other items that we adjust from underlying results. Regarding the performance in Portugal in 2017, you can see the sales for the country in our reports. I think it after a few difficult years, 2016 marked the trough of that evolution, and 2017 has been a positive year for us, where we have had positive like-for-likes throughout the year, and we have managed to regain a competitive position while keeping our margins stable. We are also moving, and we made the first few tests of new proximity stores in Lisbon in November and December. I'm sure you have had the opportunity to visit some of them, with exceptional reception for our customers, and certainly we are looking forward to act very fast in new improvement to stores during 2018, and we are certainly very positive about the evolution of the business in the country, where I think we have an undisputed position in proximity, where we are now I think adding space and having also positive contribution from space, and very well positioned from that unique position in proximity to continue growing the business as we did in 2017.
Okay.
I want to address the second question you made about margins and what we expect from impacting margins in second half, and then what happens in 2018. As I said before, when you look at our numbers, it in terms of margin, it is as I've said, not only this year, but in previous years, you have to look at the whole year to see what happens with margins. Of course, we have done an important investment in prices in the last part of the year, which will weigh negatively in the first part of the year. But as I said before, we are still negotiating with suppliers what we expect to come to have back, because we didn't obtain all the results at the end of 2017, and therefore our expectation, and I think it's an expectation that I am quite sure we will be able to do, is to stabilize, to start stabilizing our margins from the first half. And of course, it is clear that we can have the improvement, especially in the last quarter of the year, but with a stabilization starting in the first half of the year.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sreedhar Mahamkali from Macquarie.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Three questions for me as well, please. First one is, in terms of the Q4 EBITDA margin in Iberia, were there any one-offs, or was it entirely related to the price investment? I'm thinking, was there a deferral or lack of any commercial income which you're now confident that you will start to regain in 2018, or is it just completely 100% related to gross margin investment? That's the first question. Second one is cash items in other items below EBIT, restructuring charges. they're still higher year on year, and I thought you were targeting them to be lower in 2017. Do you have any thoughts into 2018 in terms of these cash costs? And finally, a slightly different question, not related to numbers, but I see this formation of strategic committee at the board level, which is slightly intriguing to me because it's this strategic committee seems to be independent of executive management. What is the purpose of this? You talk about reviewing investments and divestments. Can you elaborate a bit and why it excludes executive management, please?
Sridhar, good morning. Thank you for your questions. I will answer the first and second and leave Ricardo to the third one on the strategic committee and the board. Regarding the Q4 EBITDA margin, it is mainly linked to price investments. Obviously, there are always different effects in the quarter. There's a positive contribution from efficiency measures. But also, as you know, and as we have seen in some of our Q4s in the past years, an adjustment, if you wish, of the final conditions negotiated with suppliers. So probably during the year, and particularly in Q3, when we made our October guidance, we were probably aiming to obtain final better negotiations than actually happened. And as you know, throughout the year, what we make with our best judgment is an estimate of the cost of goods sold and the condition for each individual supplier or product. And then obviously when negotiations reach to an end at the end of the year, that cost of goods sold might experience an adjustment, which we obviously try to minimize as much as possible. Definitely this year has been a year in which there's been a movement in that regard. Buying agreements were in their first year or in the first few months of operation, and obviously this price investment we have when going back to suppliers and ask them to support those price investment vis-a-vis our competition. Other suppliers were probably doing the same with some of our competitors, so we wanted to make sure we, together with our suppliers, working jointly with them, had the best prices of the market for our customers. So again, you might, as we saw probably in the opposite direction in 2016, now we may not have obtained that positive contribution, or might have obtained a negative impact in the fourth quarter of the year. Regarding cash items, I think we've made an effort this year to provide more clarity on those, and a reconciliation you can find in note 19.9 of our annual accounts, consolidated annual accounts. We did expect at the beginning of the year to reduce somehow these cash items, other cash items during 2017, but the higher number of restructuring processes and especially store closures that we probably did not anticipate to do that much during the year led to a higher figure, or to a reduction that we didn't achieve. Again, we think that we are now in a better position, and we will progressively achieve that reduction throughout 2018.
Amanda, can I...
So let me answer the third...
Can I have a quick follow-up on the previous question? In terms of these commercial income, would you have had to restate any of the numbers from Q1 to Q3, i.e. you were accounting for some rebates Q1 to Q3 that probably didn't materialize, or will there be a different basis for Q1 to Q3 as we now look into 2018?
Well, you know that what we provide during we only generate full year accounts once a year, And obviously during the year we provide some estimates, and that, and again, as you know, our negotiation cycle is previewed as on a yearly basis, and that affects many items of the profit and loss account, but particularly commercial margin is one of those. I wouldn't definitely, I don't think that that could be called a re-estimation of any public information that is provided, but rather the full year is really the only official accounts that are published for the year correspond to the full year account.
Well, the third question, I will address it. The strategic committee is something that we were discussing for some time in our board. You know that challenges now for our sector, not only for our sector, for all sectors in business, are very important. That means that when we discuss strategy, we have to discuss more and more in depth and different items with sometimes very sophisticated approaches. And the purpose of this strategic committee is having some people in our board, which will, of course, work very close to the management team to elaborate what has to be discussed afterwards, and the decisions that have to be taken afterwards in the board sessions. So it's not a committee that will, decide the strategy. The strategy is decided at board level, but that will elaborate more about the different challenges, as I said, that are many today, and of course in absolute connection with the management team.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from James Anstead from Barclays.
Yes, good morning. Just one question from me. You've been very clear that you expect Iberian EBITDA to increase in 2018, but unless I missed it, you don't make any comment about either the group EBITDA or, by implication, the emerging market EBITDA. Should we be drawing any conclusions about that, or can you be more specific about whether you expect that to increase as well or to come under any pressure in 2018?
James, thank you for your question. I think we what we wanted to convey is that we want to push aggressively our growth in emerging markets. We have been able in the past to grow and keep an improving margin trend. We want to convey the idea that expansion, which has been positive but lower in 2017 than it has been in the past, we think the market share gains prove that we're really growing ahead of the market, that our commercial proposition is resounding very well, astonishingly well with customers, and we want to push expansion and growth and put it on the top of our agenda and not be necessarily focused on the growth of margins. Nothing more than that. Obviously, we think that in terms of profitability, the question today remains, and our main target has to or should be to be able to sustain our profitability in Iberia. We think we are well placed and well prepared to do so throughout the year, and that is where what we thought or what we think is more relevant for our shareholders, and that is what we'll try to deliver in 2018, and that's why we have fixed our priorities and communicated our priorities around that.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from James Grzinic of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Ricardo and Armando. I just had a very simple one. I mean, if I assume that your Spanish gross margin last year fell by about 200, 250 basis points, and I think about two drivers behind that, it feels as if you felt you had to support franchisee profitability and on the other hand, of course, reinvest into pricing overall. How much of that was gross margin down in the wholesale function, and how much was it down in your direct retail operations?
James, thank you for your question. Well, you've taken certain assumptions that might not be fully correct. As Ricardo said, we wanted to make sure that the profitability of our franchisees did not suffer from these price investments, and I think we have been absolutely open about that. That has been the case. We wanted to make sure that we took that charge. We absolutely believe that our franchisees, which are the front face and the link to our clients in many cases, should do their work. And in this case, it was on our side to make sure that we had continued to have the best prices of the market. However, obviously, our profitability has been eroded, and I should say in very similar magnitudes in both businesses. We don't manage the business separately or independently. We manage the business as a whole, and we think it's clearly an integrated business. So the margin erosion has been taken in as a whole and in both sides, and definitely not affected our franchisees' profitability. And I think that's a very, very good news, and we are happy to see that the satisfaction, and particularly in profitability, has only improved.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Arnaud Joly from Société Générale.
Yes, good morning, Ricardo and team. I only have one remaining question. If you can provide us, you know, the precise internal deflation that you recorded in Iberia in Q4, this would be helpful. Thank you.
As Armando said before, it was not, we didn't have a peak deflation in Q4. It was more, I would say, a flat situation in terms of inflation in Q4, despite the investment, because as you know, the market in the total market in food was inflationary in the last part of the year. Not very inflationary, but inflationary in the last part. So the difference we made was between this inflation of the market, positive inflation of the market, and let's say close to zero, which was the case, which is, by the way, good news for 2018, because it means that we start from a situation in which in the market there is no deflation, and we have prospects of again having a market that will not that will grow, even if with small growth, because you know that population is not growing in Iberia, but with small growth, but at least with some growth for 2018.
Thanks, Ricardo. And maybe can you remind us what was your internal inflation in Q3?
It was very similar, because we started the investment in Q3. The problem is when you start the investment, it doesn't mean that immediately you obtain the results in sales. You obtain the results in sales in 1 or 2 months after.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Juan Ros from BBVA Bank.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three quick ones. First of all, regarding non-recurring items, I guess that if you are not closing that much space next year, we should expect a reduction in the non-recurring items below EBITDA next year. Also, second question regarding China, can we expect a divestment in the short run? Is there any talks at the moment? Is there any player interested in your business there? And then finally, regarding the margin in Iberia, I'm sorry for insisting in this front, but so basically there's a 400 bit reduction in Q4. Basically, well, my understanding is that half of that is seasonal, another half is structural. So on the 200 bips that are apparently you are expecting to recover that with lower supply cost and some mix, what's your level of certainty as of today that that will occur next year? Is you have already some negotiations going on, so that you're expecting that to kick in maybe Q1, Q2, Q3 next year, or is there still some uncertainty on the level of rebates or cashbacks that you can get out of your suppliers? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. On the first one, on other items, yes, obviously we will expect to see some reduction in those items below EBITDA level, as we think we move into a phase where there is less of these restructuring and especially the space reduction that has led to an increase in 2018. Regarding China, we are working. We've been working now for some time, and obviously, this is or these kind of transactions are never easy, and particularly in China. But we think we are coming close to an agreement, and we will announce that as soon as we have something clearly closed. And the third question.
Yeah. Third question will be, I will address it. I insist on what Amando said before. I think he has done a very in-depth explanation of how we are working on every quarter and the full year, and especially when you look at the negotiations with suppliers, this is key to understand what happens. Remember when you saw 2016 results that you said, well, you had a very good margin in the last quarter over the average on the year, and we explained, look, we cannot say that this will be the opening margin for 2017. You probably remember that. And that's exactly what I say again for 2017, because you are comparing the last quarter of 2016, which was another situation in which we had very good results from different parts, with a situation in Q4 2017, which reflects more difficulty in the negotiation with suppliers at the end of the year, and which reflect also the fact that we have invested at the end of the year. So it's comparing Q4 2016 with Q4 2017 to obtain a general approach of what can happen in 2018. From my point of view, it's not the right way to do it. But of course, you can do as you prefer. What we say is, look, we have to look at the whole year, and of course, we will have some. We will not be in the first quarter or in the second quarter of 2018 in having immediately completely stabilized our margins. What I said before is we will work to stabilize margins, and I think we will be able to stabilize margins throughout the first half. And once again, at the end of the year, you will see an improvement due to the, let's say, the reduction that you have seen in the fourth quarter. But please, when you look at the information, take into account that in 2016 our margin was not standard in the Q4. It was higher than the standard, and that's why the comparison is more difficult, which I understand. I understand that the comparison is more difficult, but this is important to understand why we are saying what we are saying.
Our next question comes from Xavier Le Mené from Merrill Lynch.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions, if I may. The first one regarding, you know, franchise. You have 59% of your Diaz stores franchise, you know, in Iberia. Do you have a target actually for 2018 or even going forward? So, what is a good level of franchise you should reach? That's the first question. Second one. Sorry to come back to that, but in Q3, you were guiding, you know, for a decline, mid-single-digit decline of the EBITDA in Spain, and you came with actually with a lower number. But you are already quite a good view on your sales, and actually you didn't miss sales in Q4. So why did you not get the money from the suppliers? I don't really understand why.
What? Xavier, thank you for your questions. Well, you know well that we do believe that franchise is the best operating model for proximity stores, and we have subsequently increased the number and the portion of stores that are operated through franchisees. We have seen franchisee satisfaction evolving positively, and we have proved wrong the people that expected franchise contribution to decline as the economic activity improved in Iberia. And I think we're very happy to see that franchises are a good option for entrepreneurs to run a proximity store and to serve best the Dia clients. So definitely we should continue to see an increase in the level of stores or in the portion of stores, proximity stores, that are run by franchisees. That has been the case also with Clarel in the recent past, and we see also a successful proposition there.
Well, I will address the second question. I am happy to hear you, because you show that you are angry with this with this money from suppliers that's not going to the pocket of Dia. Imagine how angry I was when I understood that this was the situation at the end of the year. But coming back to explain what happens when you open negotiations with suppliers at the end of the year, it's always much more difficult, because you are let's say it's a time in which everyone wants to make their objectives and their budgets. So much more difficult. And second, you don't have time, because the year finishes the 31 December. But as I was very angry, and all my team that are negotiating with suppliers are as angry as I am, at least we will continue negotiations in the first part of the year. And I assure you that we will try to obtain back what we think we have to obtain back.
Sorry, just to follow up on that, actually. Does that mean that you're expecting to get some money from the suppliers in Q1 and Q2, which is part of the reason why you expect to stabilize the profitability in H1?
This is part of the reason why.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Our next question comes from Andrew Porteous from HSBC.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. You've actually just answered a lot of my questions, but just coming back on the supply negotiations, just to clarify, is this money that you have earned that they were just unwilling to give you before the year end, and therefore you can account for it, and therefore you've got pretty good line of sight on it, or is the negotiation about how much you're going to get still going on?
No. But we, of course, when you see our numbers at the end of the year, this is what we obtained from the negotiations at the end of the year, as we always do. What I was saying is that we opened negotiations as we had to invest more in prices, and that's what we said when we were presenting the Q3 results that we had to invest in margin in order to reposition our prices, as we have explained, and that we would reopen negotiations with the suppliers, which means that we reopened negotiations with suppliers at the end of the year. These negotiations have not yet finished, but of course, some of them have been finished, and they have been booked in our numbers, but we continue some of these negotiations which have been opened, and we intend to finish them all in the first part of the year.
Okay, so it's not that suppliers haven't been willing to support you, it's just that
no.
The timing hasn't worked out.
That's it. That's it.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Andrew Gwynn from Exane.
Hi there, good morning all. I did put them on the webcast, so you can certainly remove those. But two questions from me. I suppose a very simple one is, should we expect the Q1 Iberian margin to be down over 100 basis points? I mean, you've cut prices by over 2 percentage points, so seeming a little bit of supplier support, Q1 presumably very, very weak still. And then the second question, I mean, obviously you flagged the Brazilian deflation, but you don't really flag the Argentinian inflation, which is considerably more, over 20%, I think. So if we look at the emerging market like-for-like, if we back out all the inflation components, are you doing positive volumes in both those markets on a like-for-like basis? Thanks.
Andrew, thank you for your questions. Well, I don't think it is our intention to elaborate and to provide quarterly guidance on margins. Definitely, as we explained over and over during the call, the first two quarters and the first third quarters will have more challenging comps than the fourth quarter, but I think what is relevant for shareholders and investors is what we did, which is provide a guide for the full year margins. So it is, I think, not useful to speculate around quarterly margins as of today. Regarding LATAM, you have on slide 64 both the national food inflation in Brazil, whether flagged or not, which went from 11.9% positive to -5.1% from Q4  2016 to Q4 2017. On the right-hand side of the page, you have the national food inflation in Argentina, which went down from 39.1% to 21.7% Q4 2016 versus Q4 2017. So obviously, yes, inflation, national food inflation remains higher in Argentina than in Brazil. The drop and the negative figure in Brazil is definitely, we think, more news and more relevant for investors to understand the evolution of our sales. We have grown in both countries, well, we believe, well above the market. We have gained market share and with less contribution from space this year. So our performance in both Argentina and Brazil, we think, is great. The teams have done a great job in a very difficult environment. And again, we provide both figures of national food inflation in Brazil and Argentina, and we think the performance in both countries is excellent. Thank you.
I hadn't got to slide 64, so thank you.
You have it on the it's posted on the website, yeah.
On my way all the way to slide 64, so now I've got it now. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
There are no further questions over the telephone, so I would like to turn the conference over back to our speakers for additional or closing remarks.
Thanks. Well, we move now to the final stage of the call with the questions received via web. The first one comes from Tim Attenborough at Santander. It's about explain, please, further the references to the rating agencies about a significant scope for potential additional leverage in the statement, as well as the potential resuming of the inorganic growth. Should we expect any M&A moves imminently? I'm not saying that it's an NVIDIA. What about Latin America?
Yes, Tim, thank you for your question. Well, I think the reference to our financial situation are done every year. We are well below, as I explained, our commitments in our bank covenant contract, and we remain committed to keep an investment grade rating. So we have definitely a scope for additional leverage with this set of numbers. You refer on the end of the question whether this was linked to some speculation about the ratings downgrade. I think the numbers that appeared in our report were completely wrong, and we have approached the analyst at the firm to make corrections about that the speculation, which was, as we have clearly stated today, completely unfounded. And well, this is part of what we wanted to convey today. We are committed to explore M&A, as we've done successfully in the past. Obviously, we're open to do so in both segments if the right opportunity arises.
Another question from Tim is about the new Letter One directors. If he is asking if they will be joining the strategy committee.
Well, as you know, Letter One directors have not joined yet the board, because it's what we have today is a proposal from the board to be part of the board that has to be analyzed by our appointment and remuneration committee and submitted to the general shareholder meeting in order to be approved. So let's go step by step.
The next question comes from Andrea Benenti, the analyst. It's about expenses from restructuring and efficiency projects actually double year-on-year in 2017. What should we expect for full year 2018?
Well, as I said, we think that once an important cycle of reduction in the space has phased, we expect other item contribution to be reduced throughout 2018.
And the last question that is pending to be covered today comes from Iñigo Egusquiza at Kepler Cheuvreux. Is about what about the 2016-2018 750 million euros of cash from operations objective appears tough after the accumulated figures of 2016-2017.
Thank you, Iñigo, for your question. You have a slide also on the appendixes, slide 55, that covers our cash from operation review with in 2016 and 2017, and especially using 2015 constant rates, which is where the target was set. What we have achieved so far is in 2 years is 60.6% of that target when you look at it in constant figures. It's definitely tougher to do the remaining 40% in just 1 year. But after especially that the reduction in adjusted EBITDA for the year. The only thing we'll see the final outcome at the end of 2018. This is a long-term target set under long-term incentive plans, and it will only be reviewed after the end of 2018.
Well, this put an end on today's conference call. Thank you very much for your time, and I remind you that the next quarterly release, Q1 2018, is due for 10th of May. Thank you, and have a day.